I encourage you now to open your copies of God's Word in Matthew 6. Just three verses today, 16 to 18. Sermon on fasting. My intention today is, I think I would like for you to have impressed upon your hearts what, what the underlying spiritual significance of fasting is. So there'll be quite a lot of repetition. I hope it doesn't put you off, but I will be repeating the same theme probably 12 to 13 times in different angles. That my hope is that you would leave this hall knowing what fasting looks like, so then we would be encouraged to do it as a spiritual discipline. The word of the Lord. Jesus is the one speaking now. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Allow me to ask for God's direction and guidance and power in his sermon. Father, as we come before you, I ask that you would be pleased with your people and that you would be pleased to bless your people. Jesus, I ask if we would be overcome by your Holy Spirit, Spirit that you would possess us and move us to take heed of the message of Jesus. That we as your disciples, Jesus, may hear you speak as though you were speaking today to us. This sermon that you spoke to disciples that may be impressed upon your disciples of today. Teach us, Lord. Teach us what it means to fast. The picture, the parable, the metaphor. That we may practice it quietly, privately, as you say in secret. And that we would reap the reward, the blessing, which I really believe, Lord, is you, more of you. Oh, Lord, if there's a church that is filled with more of Jesus, isn't that revival? If we are more like you, Jesus, would we not go out and seek the lost? It's what I desire, Lord, what we desire. So allow your word to do that to us, that we may begin with ourselves, revival in our souls, as we hunger and thirst for you, as we abstain from the things of this world and concentrate on the things of heaven, as we show you how dependent we are on you, O Lord, by abstaining from the thing that we are dependent on this earth for life, to show you that we are dependent of you for eternal life, and cultivate that and grow it in our souls. And let us go out and be those used by you to create revival and bring those that are lost into your kingdom. Grow us in faith and grow us in number. Build your kingdom, your church, Jesus. We are here for you. Oh, speak now, Jesus, as your servants are now listening. And it be returned to you in greater glory. I pray this, amen. I began a weight loss program of sorts lately, and as you can tell, it's not going very well. Maybe my program is off. Jody keeps telling me the only way that I will ever lose the weight is if I abstain from bread, she says. Stop eating it altogether, or stop eating it at certain meals, or abstain from it on certain days. like make a fast from bread. But there is no way that's going to happen, because as an Argentinian, I would rather fast from all other food for one whole day, don't eat anything at all, or just drink water, than cut bread from my life. I have bread with pretty much everything that I eat. Everything that I eat with bread. So maybe I should take up fasting as a weight loss program. And as some of you may know, it's quite the fad, quite the thing going on at the moment, and it's extremely effective. Fasting is abstaining from certain fatty foods or from carbohydrates, or abstaining from sugars like chocolate or lollies or alcohol, or basically not eating anything at all for a certain period of time. Fasting to reduce weight is helpful in shedding the unwanted and excess weight from our lives. It refines us somewhat, it shapes us, it helps our physicality, our bodies look better. Fasting to lose weight, that excess baggage, makes us feel better in our bodies. The Bible speaks about fasting like it were a living parable for our spiritual bodies. In fact, it's more than a parable. The Bible presents fasting as a powerful metaphor that offers a tangible and a real life means of cultivating intimacy with our Lord God. And yet fasting is also beyond a mere metaphor. Fasting is a deliberate spiritual discipline and practice that Jesus himself even employed. Fasting has vivid connections between the physical body and the spiritual body. It's between the physical hunger and the deeper longings of our souls. In his most desperate moments, Jesus turned to fasting as a living embodiment of his prayer life. When Jesus fasted, he was seeking to heighten, to intensify his awareness of his need of God's presence. You see, as we fast, our bodies, as we abstain from food, our bodies then cry out for sustenance, to be fed, yearning to be nourished. And this physical craving is used in fasting, is used as a tangible manifestation of our spiritual hunger. A vivid reminder that our bodies are intricately connected to our souls. When we deny our body's sustenance, when we fast, we feel the emptiness within our stomachs, which we then align with our desire to be filled spiritually. When we hear our stomach's hunger in our fast, we associate that physical echo to our soul's longing for spiritual nourishment. And so Jesus instructs his disciples that the fasting should happen, but it should not be practiced for external validation or recognition. Rather, fasting is, Jesus says, is a private and intimate discipline that is meant to be performed solely for God's attention and for our blessing. In this sense, fasting becomes an intimate demonstration, a personal picture, a personal revelation to God of our devotion to him. You see, it's a secret language that only God can understand. By denying our bodies earthly sustenance, we are affirming our dependence on God and seeking to be nourished by the bread that comes down from heaven. Fasting says to God and to ourselves, just like my stomach grumbles now, Lord, and pleads to be fed because it hasn't enough food, so is my soul hungering and grumbling and yearning because it hasn't enough of you. And so our stomachs, they may cry out with hunger pains, and then we turn that physical hunger into a living metaphor in our own lives. When we practice it in private by ourselves, we turn that that physical hunger into spiritual hunger, as our soul's craving to be fed with more of God. Our souls then are pleading when we fast to God. In that moment that you have abstained from food and you are in prayer, you're asking and pleading to God, now it's serious time, God. Turn your face towards me. Hear my prayers. Bow down and listen, for I hunger for your power, presence, and person. So fasting is a spiritual discipline that is closely connected to prayer. It's why Jesus taught his disciples about fasting after his instructions on prayer. Jesus said, hear now the word of God. He said in verse 16, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So physical fasting, it's practice for the health of my physical body, both the insides and the outsides, for my flesh, all of it, so I may look good to myself and others around me. That's physical fasting, so I may feel comfortable in my physical body, healthier. Spiritual fasting, on the other hand, is a discipline used to condition my heart, my spiritual body, my soul, not to be pleasing to others, Jesus says, to outsiders. In fact, spiritual fasting is the exact opposite to physical fasting, to bodily fasting, because it hides the fast. Make sure people don't know or see my spiritual fasting, because its purpose, when we fast, is not to be seen by others, but to be seen by God. Did you see that instruction from Jesus there in verse 16? And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that the fasting may be seen by others. Jesus says hypocrites fast to be seen by others. Whereas Jesus says in verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Can you see that spiritual fasting is something we're supposed to do even today? It is an intimate practice. It's a private affair. It's a metaphor that I'm emptying my soul of everything that impedes me coming to God, of all that is weighed upon it, and then calling upon God to fill me with himself. It's a time of vulnerability, exposing my need for God. When I fast, I'm saying to God, I want you to examine my insides, my inner person, my soul. It's asking God to continue his good work inside me, to affect me, my living, my whole person, who I am, and for that work inside to then become uncontainable and then be manifested on the outside. Abstaining from food, fasting. It says that I'm setting aside the necessities of life to sustain this physical body and enacting how necessary God is to sustain my spiritual body. Spiritual fasting is identifying what makes me bloated in the sight of God and abstaining from it. Fasting is a spiritual argument that says, I am setting aside what spoils my appetite for God and reconditioning my spiritual appetite for holiness. Spiritual fasting concerns itself with drawing near to God. It's a private and, once again, intimate discipline. Fasting is a plea for God to take notice of you, to hear you. See, this concern that Jesus has for us, it's been going since the beginning of chapter 6. It's about secret disciplines. Jesus is concerned about lifting up his disciples, growing them. But he says these things must happen in the quiet time without anyone seeing. That's why Jesus began in verse 1 of chapter 6 warning his disciples. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them. Then you will have no reward from God. In other words, if you practice holy living, Jesus says, just to be seen by others, the very wrong person who should be seeing your holiness, the very person who should be seeing your holiness, God will not respond in blessing. When you show the world how holy you are just to gain praise by the world, you're doing it all for the wrong reasons, Jesus is saying. If you're thinking that you're going to be showing others your righteousness to be seen by others, they're the only ones that are going to see. And praise will not come from God. I think Jesus is trying to get us to understand an insight here. I think he's trying to get us to understand that by doing holy acts, we're proving that you don't follow God for him, but for yourself. We're using God for self-praise. I guess it's time for self-examination. If you want to be seen by others and not God, I'm going to tell you now, stop. You can't stop. Ask yourselves, what will I gain from what I practice? If you don't answer more of God's presence, power, and person, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. If when you do something for God's eyes only, to be seen by God, if your practice shall gain God, then don't stop doing it. Jesus also went on to say that when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, that they may be praised by others. It's these secret practices that Jesus is concerned about for his disciples so they may grow in their sanctification. He says, don't toot your own horn when you give, when you're generous, when you donate. Stop bringing attention to yourself when you display the holy character of God. Because when we bring attention to ourselves and we take the glory, it steals the glory from the Creator and brings it on the creature. If you seek praise by others, you are stealing the praise of God. Jesus then went so far as to say, don't even seek praise from yourself, he says. In verse 3, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, as though your left hand has a conscience and a mind that can know what the right hand is doing. Jesus doesn't mean that. That's not possible. What Jesus is conveying is the idea that you should be mindful of your inner dialogue. Sure, you may not want to seek praise by others, so you don't get any praise by others, but when you give, you tell yourself, aren't I really good? Look what I just gave. Wally, you're so generous. Don't even seek praise from self either. Self-glory in the mind. It's hypocritical, Jesus is saying, because giving is just the reallocation of God's resources. Jesus went on to say, watch out so as not to be a hypocrite even when you pray. He said, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, he's trying to get us to see that when we start walking as followers of Jesus Christ, there's going to be stuff, action, practices, disciplines that are just going to be between you and God. And that's how you're going to grow with him. Our living and practicing our righteousness, our giving, even our praying is supposed to be the cultivation and the strengthening of our relationship with God. And that fruit that comes from that is to then redirect from our holy living, glory to God. And so Jesus encourages us to a certain way of living. He says this, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So our purpose in living for Christ under the mercy and the grace of God, under the Holy Spirit's transformation and sanctification of our lives, is to redirect our good works back to God and not to ourselves. To grab the eyes of the world and bring them to the Lord. To bring praise to the glory of God. And to bring praise to the self is hypocrisy. Again, can you see what Jesus is calling his disciples and us to do, to pursue? Jesus wants his disciples to cultivate. He wants you to stop just going to church and reading your Bible and showing people that you do it. He wants you to stop and do life with him privately, intimately, personally, and grow. Are you growing? Are we growing? Are we growing? Maybe it's because we need to listen to Jesus. Maybe we need to listen to Jesus when he's giving instructions to his very disciples. This is how you grow. Pray that no one sees. Fast that no one sees. Live in right relationship publicly, but privately with the Lord your God. Not to be seen by others, not to seek praise of man, but man to praise God, not to praise ourselves, but give praise to God. How often do we get this wrong? We're so concerned of what other people see in our lives, so concerned what other people say about us, whether they talk behind our back or not. What if I don't look good to the world? I've been reminding you the last couple of sermons that I've preached to you. I tell you, when you get to heaven and you are before God, you won't care one iota of what people ever said about you on this earth or what people thought about you or saw about you on this earth. But what you're going to care about when you're in heaven at the instant that you have died and stand before the God of glory, you're going to care what he saw in your life, and you're going to care of what he thought of you in this life. I'm trying to impress upon you, do you see? I think that's what Jesus is saying to us. Grow. Don't look for people to affirm you, validate you. Look to God and his validation. And if you haven't got that relationship, pray to him. Jesus is calling us to develop this genuinely transformed life that is affected by a heart that is genuinely devoted to God and not to mindless practices or rituals, ceremonies. You see, Jesus is concerned not so much with the outside performance, but as of the inside performance. To raise our affections towards glory of God and not of the self. To emphasize the importance of spiritual transformation rather than the mere external performances that we get up to. They're just going to produce nothing of the sincere, genuine faith that I know many of you long for. But again, there's the problem. It's just not natural. It's not natural for us to pursue God like this. We don't have the appetite for God. And so what I'm repeating what Jesus is saying, I guess by more of an extrapolation, is that if we don't have the appetite for God, well, then we must cultivate a palate that craves God like this, that we must develop a hunger for God. And this is where fasting should come into our spiritual practice, to align our body's ache with our spiritual fervor, to heighten our sense and need of our God. And so once again, when Jesus begins about fasting, he has to warn his disciples that when they hunger for God, they must watch out for hypocrisy. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite when you pursue God. Jesus is now getting to the practicality side of things. When you fast, don't look glum. So when people see you, they'll ask, oh, is everything okay, Wally? You look a little bit down. Oh, yeah, I'm just a little hungry and my stomach is growling, you know, because I'm fasting, you see. I want more of God. And then people will say, well, look at Wally, look how super spiritual he is. Look how wise. Look how he fasts from the Lord. And because he fasts for the Lord, well, then he must be a great husband, a superior father. He must be so patient, hardly ever sins. Jesus says, receiving that praise, well, that's all the reward you're going to get, which defeats the purpose of fasting. Fasting is seeking to receive a greater sense, a greater intensity of God's presence, power, and person. So then to fast, to be seen as spiritually mature, to receive praise or acknowledgement as super spiritual and holy, defeats the very purpose. So to fast without receiving God, more of God, is just hypocrisy. You see, that's why he says, you're going to fast, don't be a hypocrite. You know, sometimes we do this indirectly. You know, we start doing things and we didn't really set out to actually get the praise of others. And then when we are doing these practices and we get the praise of others, we do them all the more. And somewhere along the line, we've got off that path. And rather than receiving the praise of God and looking to bring others to the glory of God, we just keep receiving the praise of others, doing that very thing that we know we started off to give God glory, and now we're using to receive our own glory. And I'm telling you, it's not too late to stop. Repent. God is so generous with his grace. Seek the praise of God. I reckon that most of the times when we do that, we don't see that if we seek praise by what we do, if you seek praise by what you do, your value then is derived by your works. And you will have to keep on working to keep praise coming. And yet your worth, beloved, is derived by your union with God in Christ Jesus. So then seek his presence, power, and person. Fast for him. Grow an appetite for God. And so cultivate a palate, a taste, a craving for God. We need to develop a hunger for God. And you develop that, and in him you shall find your praise in Christ. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In him you will find your purpose, your contentment in his intimacy. That no marriage, no relationship, no feeling of the world will give you that joy as the presence of God with you. Jesus expects us to have that. And the way that he says we can achieve it is by using fasting as a spiritual discipline. We moderns don't think too much about this fasting. We may think it's antiquated, and I've been doing this quite a few years now, so I know many of us in the church believe that it's all over. No one fasts anymore. But I want to convince you that this isn't the case. Look at verse 16 with me, will you? Read it very quickly. Pay attention to the flow of six logical steps. There are six of them. It goes like this. When you do something, there's an expectation. When you do something, don't do it like this. That's step two. Don't be like these people, step three. Step four, for they do it such and such. Five, to be seen by others. Six, they have their reward. This is what it sounds like. And when you fast, expectation. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly say to you, they've received their reward. Six logical steps. We can work out that Jesus here wants us to fast by how he teaches his disciples with his very command, when you fast. When? That's enough for us to see that Jesus wants us to fast, but there's more here. See those six logical steps? When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. It's identical to prayer in verse 5. Drop down to verse 5. See verse 5? The six logical steps are identical. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Surely I say to you, they receive the reward. See, no one would debate that Jesus commands the disciples to pray. Yet Jesus uses the same teaching instruction for fasting as he does for prayer. Moreover, see verse 6 there of chapter 6. Jesus gives instruction on how to pray with almost the same logical sequence. And when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's the same formula, verse 17, on teaching us how to fast. Look at verse 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Can you see that Jesus expects his disciples to fast? In fact, I don't think Jesus is using the same formula for fasting as prayer merely to emphasize fasting will and should continue. But I think he's actually got more of an idea. I think he's trying to say that fasting should be connected exactly with prayer. When we fast, it's not mere performance or merely a ritual or a practice, but fasting, you see, fasting is an extension of prayer. Fast and pray. Pray when you fast. You see, fasting is what I used to call, and I still do, fasting is an exclamation point to your prayers. It's a deep and a genuine amen as you pray. It's a cry and a groan to be heard. So fasting is not alone. It is coupled with prayer to accentuate our pleas before God. You know what prayer, you know what fasting does when you're in prayer? It says, God, I've been serious with you before in my prayers, but now I'm all the more serious now. That's what fasting adds to your prayer. I need more of your presence. So fasting, it's not a chore. It's not a work. It's not a performance. It's not a ritual. It's not a task. It's not a task that we offer to God in return for reward. If I fast one day, then God will return a reward for me. If I abstain from food, God will make me wiser. Fasting is a metaphor. I fast because as I approach God in prayer, I'm saying, can you hear that? The grumbling, I'm hungry. That's my soul. Hear me. I need you. There's a big difference than when man comes or the woman goes before God and says and pleads. God will hear you. But there's an exclamation when you're hungry. You know what it sounds like, don't you? When you're hungry, people hear it around you. And you're like, God, if my soul could yearn and we could hear it, it's like that. A living parable, a metaphor, fasting. It also says to God, today I need more than words. I haven't got enough words to describe how I'm feeling today, God. Hear me, hear my body. I can see me crave for food. That's what I want from you. My soul groans, my heart craving for more. It says, I cannot live without you filling and feeding me with more of your presence, power, and person. Jesus calls us to genuine fast, for he says, if you come hungry and thirsty, oh boy, you are the blessed. Jesus once said, listen now, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Fasting is a vivid parable of our soul's hunger for righteousness. If you seek righteousness to feed your hunger and thirsty soul, you will be satisfied, says Jesus. But what can my soul eat that it will be satisfied? What is there that satisfies the starving soul? There's only one thing that will, and that is the Lord God, as we see Him in Jesus Christ. And so fasting, it's a parable, vivid, tangible, real, but it's a metaphor, and it's more than a metaphor. It's analogous to my soul craving, wanting to be fed by God, to be satisfied by Him and Him alone. So Jesus calls His disciples to fast. When you fast, do not look gloomy. Don't be hypocrites. Don't be self-seeking. Don't disfigure your faces. Don't look glum. Don't be seen by them. That's all the only praise they're going to get. Keep your fasting to God's eye only. And then He says, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. So in other words, we're back to that, isn't it? Put some hair gel in your hair, Wally. Ladies, hairspray. Spruik yourself up. Wash your face. Don't come to church disheveled. Are you all right? Just fasting. Eyes for God only. You know why? Because it's my soul that's fasting. Wash your face. Your Father in secret sees in secret. See, it's a private discipline, but yet it grows us. It grows us. It builds us. God draws near to us. The reward of God may not be on this earth, but a better treasure that we shall profit into all eternity is Him in His presence. But how's it done? How is it done? How do I fast? What to fast from? Well, I would suggest the biblical fasting is primarily on food. Don't eat something. If you're going to fast from something that is not food, I would suggest fast from what competes with giving God your undivided attention. I think you need to fast whenever you do fast, and when you should fast, and we should fast. We make it real. We go through the motions. Jesus is after the grumbling. We want to hear the grumbling of the body, the groaning, the craving. You can fast from products, chocolate. We're going to fast for chocolate, okay. Video gaming, sins. They're the things you should be fasting all the time. But when we fast, let go of food. Drink water, but no food. And how do you fast? What happens when you fast? I'm in the process of fasting. How does it work? What's going on? Well, each time that you are on the day of fasting or days of fasting and your stomach growls, that's the trigger to pray. You may be, no matter where you are in the space-time continuum, and you're in the fast and your stomach starts growling, that's the trigger. And you begin a praise to God. Here's my petition. Here's my soul crying. You could be on a bus, train, in an aeroplane. I'm here, Lord. Hear me now. That's how you fast. The hunger pains with a petition to God. The hunger cries, the growling is the trigger to pray. How long? How long am I to fast? I talked to some people already. I've been doing this again with my elders for a while now. I've had people fast and they go, oh man, man, that was easy for me. You know, one day not eating food. I don't care, fast 2 days. Oh, 2 days is easy. Three days. Oh, that was easy, you know, just drink water. Then 40 days, 40 nights. I like to see that one. You see, the fast is not, can I do it? It's not like you're in it alone. You know, you're alone. You know, the show alone, and you can't eat because there's no produce. So how are you going to survive? How am I going to get through this? I'm on Survivor. How am I going to do this? No, it's like I'm in a fast to get more of God. So there has to be some kind of groaning happening. You fast however long it is genuine in your heart that you crave the Lord. What shall we fast for? Always have a purpose. It was a long time that I fasted with another elder for love when I spoke. Still working on it. Fasted for my preaching. Fasted for the church. Hungry. My items came up. Have a purpose when you fast. Write it down. Have a prayer point. Get ready. And then when you begin your fast, growling, here's the purpose. Lord, hear me now. Which brings me to what I'm going to do this Friday. On Friday, I'm going to fast. And I welcome the whole church to fast for me the whole day. Sunrise to sunset. I won't eat anything, I'll drink. But during the day, I'm going to just think about two things. The church, Providence, for revival. Revival, Lord, bring people to this church. Revive us with faith, by faith, but also numerically. Bring more people, more families, the people of around here. But we need to be sanctified first, so work in me as you work revival. The second one is we're looking for deacons. Bring deacons, show us, oh Lord, so we as a people may be led by you. About 5:30 in the afternoon, I'll go to the workshop and I'll be finishing my prayer and I'll invite you to come along and then I'll shout everybody pizza. I don't care how many people turn up. Bring a friend. I'll pay for the pizza. And then we'll pretend we're in the feast of God. After a fast, we'll eat together. But before the end, I will pray with you. If there is no one there, and it's happened to me before, I'm going to kneel down in the middle of the workshop by myself and I will pray. And then I'll have a pizza for one. More than likely, my wife will be there. Pizza for two. We'll kneel down and pray together about how my heart hopes that you are with me. That's how I will fast. For the growth of the church in number and faith and the anointing of the diaconate. I hope you have a better picture now of what fasting is. What fasting does, it's a discipline, a practice that unifies oneself with God. It's a form of prayer. You know, fasting is seeking God, to be fed by God. But it's also part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? When Jesus says prayer like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, we want to cultivate a relationship and security with God for our occupation, that where we get our bread, but also for the bread that comes down from heaven. Give us that every day. We fast from food. Jesus once said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, he's saying, yeah, there's food, but there's a greater bread out there. And you can't just live by that food. You need to care for your physical bodies, but also your spiritual bodies. And that bread comes from God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Concern ourselves to fill our stomachs as we fill our souls. Ultimately, what fasting craves is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The question then remains is, have you got this bread of life? Do you have Jesus, the bread of life? Jesus, the bread of life, is the one that brings life. Jesus said this, hear now everybody, I am the bread of life. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Did you hear that? Jesus says that he is the bread of life, and if you eat of him, you shall never die. Have you eaten from the bread of Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus doesn't mean somehow we have to get all metaphysical and stretch back 2,000 years and pluck some of Jesus' flesh and then eat it. What he means is to take Jesus on board, to consume him wholly, all of him, to surrender your life to him. To have him in your life like you eat bread, well, then you have Jesus like the sustenance of your life. Do you have Jesus Christ like that, is what he's saying. Jesus is the bread of life. And so when we want bread, when we want to fast, we're fasting for the bread that is Jesus Christ and more of him. Without that, you do not have his promise of life. You know, if I just keep bread in my diet, I think I can walk up to Jody now and say to her, the reason I eat bread is to remind me of the bread of life. But how far away am I from that being true? What do you do every day to remind you you eat from the bread of life? Do you fast? Do you call upon him? You may have whatever it is that you have. I'm just saying we need something to constantly have us craving for the bread of life. Some people say that we should not fast, or there is no need to fast. In fact, Jesus was asked this very question. He says, can the wedding guests mourn? This is a response, as the bridegroom is with them. The days will come when the bridegroom, that is Jesus, is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Well, beloved, Jesus is not with us. And so what do? We will fast for him. Allow me to pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your instruction. I ask if you would give the word, my Lord Jesus, if we have found favor in your sight. And if it is pleasing to you, O Lord Jesus, may you send your Holy Spirit to these people here. Bless them with the spiritual discipline of fasting, so when their physical bodies are craving sustenance, they will redirect that and say to you, God, my soul craves to be sustained by you. Hear our prayers. Hear my prayer, my Lord, that we may hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and we hold on to your promise that you will satisfy us, and so satisfy us with yourself. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.